Chapter 7. Admittedly, Charlie was nervous. Even if spoken aloud, it would fall on deaf ears, as the person she'd been accompanying had no intentions of turning their direction. A short-dressed Charlie stood before the particularly large mansion's gates, hands clamped over her chest, a faint breeze passing her as the looming dread warped at her gut.
"Babe, what are you even so worried about?"
A lax voice sounded behind her, a hand pressing the gate open to listen to it creak.
"It's fine. Since when were parties illegal? It's a birthday."
Parties weren't illegal. It was just the fact that this was her first real sneaking out event at the house with her boyfriend, no less. And she was terrified of the repercussions. The scandal. She was not a scandalous girl. Charlie allowed him to grab her hand and start a rich jaunt towards the large doors, bursting with light at the end of the driveway. The latest pop music began to slowly sink into her ears the closer they got. It almost felt like a dip from a roller coaster, slowly edging towards the sinking drop into darkness. Charlie didn't really want to go, but Saviathan had insisted. And of course, she would do what was asked of her. Saviathan often criticized this part of her. "Why do you care so much about what they think of you? Just be you." And initially, this had drawn her into him. He, the first person her age, she really saw often, due to her parents' associates. And immediately, that was a no-brainer. Of course, she would hang around him often. He seemed to like her company, implying that he felt more than just a friendship with her. Her parents approved, along with the other pair. So, it was meant to be. Choice was only a privilege. The doors opened and the noble pair entered inside. It was littered with people their age, and a little messy. Charlie winced as her heel caught on a can, and she had to haphazardly shake it off with an awkward wiggle. If she was lucky, they'd only be there for an hour, tops. Honestly, claustrophobia was a hell of a cloud, she thought as Saviathan escorted her out of the tackily decorated foyer. The birthday decorations were at full force with color, estranging the antique design of the home. She didn't recognize the name, but then again, she wouldn't recognize anyone there. Saviathan had a more public life than her. They entered a great room, gently nudging through the bodies and sticking together through his grip on her limp wrist. She tried to keep herself close to him to not get lost. The music was so loud, blaring through the speakers, streamers hanging from the ceilings, trembling at the velocity.
"Ha ha, hey!"
Saviathan basically sang as he approached a group of people, various different types of species, imps and animal hybrids alike. One in particular stood out like a sore thumb to her, and she bit back a snarky comment. Helsa von Eldritch, Saviathan's sister, who hated Charlie for whatever reason. No, really, she had no idea. And honestly, she wasn't a fan either. Girl was a bitch. A short conversation had occurred within the group, Charlie lingering in Saviathan's shadow, idly grabbing a cup from the table next to them. So, they were the kind of people to crowd around the booth of booze, instigating a sort of mysterious aura to them. Outcasts, maybe? But she didn't really know if she was one or not. What is classified as an outcast? Was it the lack of social etiquette? Someone who enjoys life's various pleasures outside of the circle of trends? A different sort of belief in cosmetic ideals? Charlie thought about it heavily. She was always complimented on her polite gestures and mannerisms. A bright girl full of potential. That was what she received a lot from tutors and her parents' friends. She liked whatever books were big, music that broadcast, cult classics from the human world her parents kept for personal pleasures. Glancing downwards, her dress was like what others wore in the party. Maybe a bit modest somehow, even if it was above her knees. No, not an outcast, Charlie decided until she glanced up at her talking peers. Saviathan's radiating grin lit up as he talked with ease, a charismatic twinkle in his eye, captivating his audience. They all focused on him and laughed at parts where he was funny, asked questions when it was confusing, lacked details, and gave input when it crossed them.
Charlie stood beside him, holding a red Solo cup with two hands. Unable to catch up or find herself relating to anything that was said in his story, she honestly could barely recognize him at that moment. Outcast. She stared down into the cup that reflected the rotating LED lights above them. It vibrated with each beat of the music, and her mirror image would distort accordingly. Even though that cramped castle made her mind go mad, she would do anything to be back in her room now, melting in the embrace of her bed. How she yearned to at least sit through one of her father's creative, far too grand ideas.
Sevi, bro, I'm shocked you managed to get the Princess of Hell out here,
one of his friends started, a canine demon with punkish clothing. Saviathan glanced back at her, stiffening his back before laughing. Right, look, baby, everyone's happy you finally came out of your shell. He moved an arm around her shoulders, pushing her close to the group subtly. You were so nervous. For what? Helsa snorted, rolling her eyes and taking out a flip phone.
Hello? So?
A female imp drawled, and Charlie could see a little too much breast with her top.
You're Lucifer Squirt, right?
Before she could ask what that meant, the girl grinned, wicked.
That's pretty cool. I always wondered what it was like to have a king for a dad. You must get all the shit you want, huh? Your house big? Bigger than here?
Charlie cleared her throat.
Well, I would think so.
You would think so? You never leave the place.
Helsa spoke up, still glaring at her phone, yet not typing anything.
I would think you know unless you're dumb or whatever.
Immediately, a pulse ached at her temple. I want to go. She glanced at her boyfriend, who looked the other way, tired of their conflict. He began to change the topic once the tension thickened.
So, right. Anyways, the other day there was a girl...
Hold on! I want to know what it's like being at the tippity top of the Pride Ring.
A serpent asked, and her boyfriend slumped in the corner of her vision.
We're meeting a celebrity. I knew Saviathan was dating you, but he never brings you anywhere. Thought he was lying at first, but... Oh, poor thing.
The group quietly chuckled at that.
Saviathan, you're a bad boyfriend.
He groaned. You're a bitch. Charlie spoke up to defend him, sheepish.
Well, he does. We do go on dates. I just don't... Do...
She looked around.
This. It's my fault, really. Don't blame him for that. He's good to me.
The imp seemed interested, placing a hand on her protruding hip.
You're probably used to those fancy champagne parties the nobles throw, huh? What are those like? Any dirty secrets on the overlords of hell?
She blinked.
That's beyond me. I don't really interact with the overlords.
Charlie stated.
That's their business.
Disappointment was evident on the imp's face, and she felt guilt. Maybe she should have said something better?
Oh, I guess you just don't get invited to things,
Helsa said with a vicious shrug.
Too bad. Are you even old enough to drink that?
Her painted finger gestured at her neglected cup.
Haven't taken a single sip, princess. It's not like your sparkling apple cider. Too scared?
Charlie had wine, yes. Sparkling champagne and things of that sort. She glanced down at the drink. Spiked punch, was it? She had known about this sort of thing.
I'm grown, she bit. Could you stop assuming things about me? What's your problem? You're always like this, and I don't get it.
Helsa wrinkled her nose at Charlie.
I'll assume as I fucking please. You're just some goody-two-shoes who parades around as if she fucking knows everything. It's annoying.
Cat fight, was whispered from one of Saviathan's friends.
She could recognize his chuckle. Their rivalry was so senseless, but grating. Dumb and stupid, and she shouldn't even get upset at someone like this, who thrived off the sadistic pleasures of talking someone down. But a heat crawled along her spine and tore at her head.
It whispered vivaciously to make decisions that would prove nothing but a regretful victory. Nothing feels better and worse than that.
Charlie pressed at the edge of her cup to her lips and began to gulp.
Charlie! Saviathan said from beside her in shock. A group glanced at her in interest, and if she was honest, it didn't taste good. It was evidently just fruit punch with several bottles of vodka blended inside. A very poor attempt at hiding the sourness.
I can do that upside down.
A challenge. Irritated and eager to prove she was not some ditz, she moved to the table and grabbed cup after cup, drinking them.
Charlie!
Saviathan's call of her name would go ignored. One of his friends whistled. She didn't know who, her back turned, and once she had taken half the cups, she grabbed the punch bowl and pushed it against her face.
Chug, chug, chug! Rebellion. Tasted disgusting, but the warmth in her belly fluttered. The red, drowning ocean upon the shore of her vision succumbed her into a strange, peace-like state. To consume was to take, and she would take every last drop of pride granted to her. Grime was often scrubbed off her, but she would let it fester and build, for only a moment. The bowl was empty, and she put it back on the table with a rattle. His friends cheered her on, one patting her back in approval, and eyes made its way over to their corner.
Please, of course you'd hog all the alcohol to yourself, Helsa laughed. Very typical of someone like you.
Phew, okay. Dizziness. But she was still pissed off enough to retain some balance.
Typical of someone like me? Your ass was saying I wasn't having enough.
Yeah, but like, you always make it so dramatic. Helsa sighed. Typical, typical, typical.
The fuck is typical? What is typical? Outcast. What is this feeling?
She stared at her hands before glaring at Helsa and stepping forward.
Seriously, what makes you hate me so much?
Helsa met her eye, green gazing into red. She finally said,
The fact that you think you're fucking hot shit, princess. It's pathetic. I mean, really, you're in hell and you don't go to parties? You don't indulge in this shit? What, is it because your daddy is angelic and you think demons are just lesser than you or something? And why would you even assume that?
Charlie's fingers twitched.
You sound like you just hate my father.
And I do.
Helsa clipped her phone shut.
Because for some fucking reason, you're the magnum opus of their life. They love you, don't they, princess? Spoil you in your little tower, and you don't even try to make it seem otherwise. Everyone knows you as some reclusive bitch who doesn't even try to lighten up. Have fun! You're meant to be some sort of icon for hell, and you can't even inspire some shit in people? I would kill to be in your position.
She rolled her eyes.
Hearing everyone wants you so bad. Even my parents want you as their fucking daughter. Those assholes. I mean, come on, your boyfriend agrees that you just never do anything, huh? All this hype for such a boring girl.
The envy was just dripping off her at this point. To be expected. Helsa glanced at her brother, who continued to stay quiet, using his irritation as a grant of silence. Charlie's world slanted. She would keep her ground.
That all sounds like a you problem.
She could pass out. Helsa cackled.
I'm sorry, but how is it a me problem when your dad openly allows his own people to get ruthlessly slaughtered once a year? Kids and innocents galore. He's a fucking lazy asshole, and he has a lazy waste of a daughter. Wow, I would really change things around here. Why don't you? Oh, well, no wonder your mother...
She didn't really think about this next step thoroughly. All she knew was she grabbed Helsa by her silver hair and promptly slammed her face on the table. Blood splattered on the surface. Gasps sounded from the crowd that formed around them. Helsa held her leaking nose and immediately moved to pounce on Charlie.
They both fell onto the floor, wrestling, scratching at each other. Helsa managed to get her lip good, banging up on her nose, scratching her rosy cheeks. Charlie would manage to overpower her by whacking her newly formed demon tail on Helsa's back and rolling on top of her. She would throw punches on her boyfriend's sister, watching as red would begin to paint at her hands. Red. 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 Red ire. Passion. Love. Hatred. Evil. Pride. It seemed to be the most vivaciously fluent color. Something really struck with her at that moment. Eventually, Saviathan was dragging her back by locking her arms with his. Charlie, Charlie, fucking stop! Charlie panted, legs jello from the adrenaline and liquor colliding in her bloodstream. One of his friends attempted to help up Helsa, Saviathan muttering to himself, not really reaching Charlie's muffling ears. She found it difficult to keep a sober thought, allowing Saviathan to guide her out of the room. A couple of demons attempted to approach her, their phones drawn, however promptly ignored during her escort. The manor's doors slammed open. It had only been an hour or so since they came in. Music was muffled behind them, still pounding against the walls of the building, contained in its cage. Saviathan now moved ahead of her, rubbing at his eyes, his hat tilting as he did so. Charlie began to limp down the steps and nearly slipped from her heel, awkwardly slamming into Saviathan's back and hearing him grunt. "Literally, Charlie, did you really have to do that?" he said, straightening her up and helping her onto the ground before pulling away. "I mean, we didn't even get to fucking dance or do anything tonight. For heaven's sake, couldn't you not antagonize her for 1 second?" She gawked. "Me? Antagonize her? I was just talking to your friends." Saviathan rolled his jaw upwards to stare at the sky. "Yeah, yeah, that went great." He turned. "Whatever. I'll take you home. I know that's what you want." Charlie watched as he began to walk down the hallway. The night breeze hit her and she gave a tiny shiver. It got so cold out. She moved to catch up with him as quickly as she could, despite her intoxication.
"That's not what I intended, Sevi. I'm sorry."
Saviathan sighed. "It's fine, really." She stared at his face. His green eyes were looking anywhere but at her, his hands in his pockets. They'd finally left the gates and began walking down the street's sidewalk. They were in a rather luxurious neighborhood within the ring.
"Sevi, seriously, let's talk."
She placed a hand on his shoulder, and he stopped, taking a deep breath from his nose.
"I'm sorry. I ruined this night for you."
"You beat my sister."
"I did,"
Charlie said.
She was talking shit about me. My family,"
she insisted.
"It wasn't fair. But I know..."
Saviathan groaned. "It doesn't matter if it's fair. Charlie, Helsa is just like that, okay? Of course she is. That's just her being her. I can't change that. You know this." He flapped his hands on his chest. "Sure, she said some things, but that doesn't mean you have to resort to violence." She let herself be scolded, wincing and shrinking under the weight of his words. How heavy they were. She really thought she could bear the burden. "All of my friends saw you harp on her." He rubbed his hand through his hair, distressed as he paced the sidewalk. "Fuck." She could see it on him, wading back and forth, buried in the sand yet uncovered by the shoreline. It was most undoubtedly shame. "You know, I was really excited to finally get you out of that shell, Charlie. I was really, really fucking happy. My friends could finally meet you. I can finally bring you to things I like. Can't you just be happy?"
I came out to this for you because it would make you happy,"
she admitted.
"I don't mean to..."
"I get it." Charlie hugged her bare arms. She was desperate for some security, tears welling up, seemingly never doing anything right. Saviathan noticed this and calmed his voice.
"I'll just take you home."
Why didn't you defend me?
Saviathan hesitated.
What?
She looked at him through her tear-filled gaze, the same distortion from earlier in her cup. It was on him directly, warping his face into one not of kindness, but of anguish.
You never stop her. You only stop me.
She's my sister.
And I'm her target,
Charlie whispered.
You know she's always done this to me, and yet you stand there and let her humiliate me.
Is this what should be done? Was this normal for a relationship? To be in his shadow, forever succumbing to the wicked teases of his sister?
I thought you liked me.
Saviathan shook his head.
Let's not talk about this right now. You drank a lot. You just couldn't control it, I guess.
She frowned.
It's fine. Let's just go.
Initially, she let it happen, walking in silence. Eventually, her walk became slower, staring at how he didn't even turn to keep her caught up, remaining at the same pace. His phone flickered in front of his face, and she could see him texting. Charlie wiped at her nose and looked at the dried blood smears across her knuckle. Her arms continued to feel goosebumps, heels digging into the gravelly sidewalk and stumbling her ankles a few times, face numb in the parts Helsa hit. The fact Helsa could say all that and still get a few hits on her was infuriating in itself. Yet, Lucifer always commented on that temper of hers. Ooh, how draining it was to deal with. And there was her boyfriend, in front of her, attention gifted to someone completely else. She was in a foul mood.
Saviathan, she said.
What?
He didn't look at her.
I never want to do something like this again.
Saviathan sighed.
You don't mean that. Seriously, it was just one bad party because of my sister. Even then, it wasn't a bad party. It was fun.
He waved his hand.
Don't be like that.
She was already annoyed.
Listen, I can already tell the shit is going to make headlines. Drunk princess goes on rampage and beats boyfriend's sister.
He dramatized.
Helsa won't let it go to waste. So just try not to make it worse with this. It's already done.
Then don't let her do shit like that. Does no one in your family care about each other's behavior?
He scoffed.
I really don't want to hear that from you, Morningstar. Immediately, she raced forward and stopped in front of him. It was a little difficult in her condition, but she persisted despite the odds.
Don't. I tried my best in there. Did you?
Of course. One bad night with you, and it has to just define the whole mood.
Saviathan groaned.
Seriously, you're coming at me now? Don't start punching me, too.
Charlie's heart dropped deep in her chest.
I was just defending myself. I'm not a violent person. Don't you like me?
You slammed her head into the fucking table with the strength of 1,000 suns,
Saviathan shouted.
She was just verbal. You turned it into carnage because you can't take some criticism.
So you agree with her?
Saviathan glanced towards the street, and she recalled Helsa briefly mentioning something about her brother agreeing with her laziness.
Do you think I'm lazy?
He groaned.
You're drunk, babe. I can't stand you like this. Please, let's just stop.
Why? Why stop? Then stop me from defending myself, because clearly that's all you do.
Saviathan pinched his nose and shoved himself past her.
Can't believe I almost dipped in that tonight. I am too sober. I can't do this. Good night, Charlie.
Her eyes batted in surprise at the comment. She whipped around, staring at his form, which kept walking away from her.
What? Where are you going? You're just gonna leave me?
I'll text you in the morning.
Charlie stared at him. Sudden regret followed her.
Wait!
She called out. However, he didn't turn his head, remaining on his phone, idly typing on the buttons.
She rushed forwards at first, tears welling in her eyes.
Wait! I'm sorry! I'm sorry, Leviathan, please!
Her heel caught into the sidewalk, and with her tipsiness, she couldn't stabilize herself in time. She gasped as she collapsed against the concrete, holding her bare, scraped knees, holding back tears. The gravel burned against her gaping wound. Charlie bit back cries of pain and scooted back to bump into a dumpster to whatever retail store they had been walking near. Her head banged against the metal and she whispered curses, her entire body in agony. She stared at the road ahead, watching as cars flew past, definitely not obeying any sort of speed limit. Her shoulders twitched as her body began to hiccup and quake with tears. Her tears would salt at her wounds and sizzle inside. Everything was painful. Above her, heaven stared down, its golden eye watching her despair. Slapping her hands over her face, the Princess of Hell broke out into sobs, wondering if anyone would ever hear her.
Hey, bud?
Charlie flinched, jumping out of her mind and into reality.
Yeah?
She found that it was Vaggy who approached her, a curious expression on her face.
You are throwing away a clock.
They both glanced down to indeed find that her bedroom clock was lodged deep within the trash bin. Charlie rubbed at her neck.
Yeah, it was,
She rolled a finger around.
It just wasn't good. Not a good clock.
A good clock.
Yeah, I'm very particular about my clocks.
They stared at each other.
Speaking of which, I use a very charming little clock in my therapy room, and I would love...
Vaggie groaned out a harsh rejection and flipped her hair when walking away. Hair brushed against her nose and she nearly sneezed. It was worth a shot, at least. She stared back down at the trash and looked at the clock. It would look back at her. It even dared to give one last, final, dying tick at her.
Okay,
she whispered to herself, rubbing her palm across her face and taking a short breath.
I suppose it's time to get back to work.
With a clap of her hands, Charlie began to abandon the previous noise in her head and focus on her purpose before. Rehabilitation. She nodded. Yes, of course. With that, she summoned her beloved notebook and pen and began to pace around the lobby, scribbling down a cohesive schedule. Angel and Alistair's therapy sessions are a must for her. Then, still try to convince Vaggie that she can be redeemed. Somehow. And sort through that mess. Potential sponsorships would be nice. She tapped the pen on her chin, thoughts frenzying her mind. She had to prioritize centered demons, so nothing outside of the Pride Ring... for now. There's a lot to do. She approached the living space, listening to the buzz of the television, finding Husk and Angel gathered and enjoying the show. Initially, she wanted to see what was up, but she took in the scene carefully. The world halted for only a moment, and she was no longer in her head, only the audience. Angel Dust was amused, seemingly content with his posture, lax against the love seat. Husk seemed to have his walk interrupted as he balanced a box on the back of a chair and gave dry commentary to Angel's quips. Charlie watched them with the entanglement of curiosity gripping at her chest. It was nice to see her people get along from such diverse backstories. And, taking a long look at Husk, maybe he could also benefit from her support. Charlie put that in her notes. Pursue Vaggie and Husk. Juggling two might be tough, but she was up to any challenge. Her spine tingled. Hands grew from the sides of her vision, crimson sleeves with claws for fingertips bleeding into red. The hands shifted their index and thumb fingers to make a mock picture frame. It fit Angel and Husk perfectly.
On the outside, looking in,
the timely voice behind her said.
Is the portrait how you imagined it?
Charlie tilted her head, amused with his wording.
And morning to you too, Alistair.
She turned to face him, who straightened accordingly. Despite their indifference the day before, she had decided she couldn't give up on him yet. Her dreams would trump
her distaste.
Morning.
Convenient timing.
I actually wanted to talk to you, Charlie said, glancing down at her spiraling notes. I want to continue our talk sessions. We had a bit of a detour, but don't think I've forgotten my mission.
She pointed her pen accusingly at Alistair, who only chuckled deep in his throat at the accusation.
When's your next availability?
Alistair glanced down at his fingers and flexed them.
Soon, perhaps. We might have quite the busy schedules lately,
he said with a haunting knowledge that would hardly be shared with her. With a raised brow, she drawled,
Right. In 2 days. And it can be during the night, like you suggested before.
Oh me, oh my, how lucky I am.
A hand on his chest in all earnesty.
The princess is sharing her precious nightly relaxation with me, to ail my woes.
Alistair leaned forward on his cane, nearing her face.
However shall I return the favor?
Charlie glanced down at her notes, not really minding his proximity to her. Favor. That word seemed to mean a lot lately.
Oh, sponsors. She rubbed at her chin with the back of her pen. You know people, right?
The talk of the town.
Alistair just about boasted. Of course he would take a moment to set in stone his connections. She would use that to her advantage.
Would you know anyone that would be interested in sponsoring the place? Not with money, but with advertisements. Or maybe we could even host events here. I mean, it's gorgeous, and we have that empty great room.
Alistair tilted his head and racked his head for thoughts.
You're in safe hands. I happen to know a head or two that could make use of this space.
He raised an eyebrow.
However,
he had her attention.
You'll have to meet them.
That's all? Easy,
she scoffed.
Who are they?
We'll start with one and see how it goes from there,
Alistair said, raising a finger near her face. She focused on it before his expression behind it.
Her name is Rosie. She's a gem, known her since forever. You'll get along swimmingly.
Charlie nodded vigorously and wrote her name next to the sponsor's chunk.
Awesome. Okay, cool beans.
She felt her mind slowly set itself back on course, despite Alistair's many, many fatal flaws. He was quite a valuable asset. Honestly, she wouldn't have half of what she did now without him. She was painfully aware of this fact. Was she uncomfortable with it? A little, but then again, it was nice to have the support.
When should we go?
Tomorrow.
She didn't really expect it that soon. Worriedly, she glanced downwards at her notes. Charlie still needed to market and deal with renovations, plus with Angel's therapy initially planned for that morning.
So soon?
I was going to visit her tomorrow anyway, for a little catch-up. You can just tag along. It'll be in the afternoon. Supper time is the golden hour there,
Alistair said.
You'll love it. Lively and full of charm.
Charlie studied him, taking in his words, and couldn't really find any fault.
All right. I suppose it wouldn't hurt.
A potential collaboration would be worth it. Alistair grinned, showing his teeth that seemed to stain itself in the back of her eyes.
Lovely.
He moved to brush some hair away from her face. His eyes flickered to scatter across her face, seeing something that she evidently couldn't follow. She beheld him, too, captured by the abruptness of her attention. And there it was again. The secrets of this sinner luring her into a state of curiosity. The noise that grated at her wasn't a clock tick this time. It was a small thump from inside of her ribs. Ba-bum. Did it skip a beat? Or perhaps did it push a little too heavily? Was it her need for theatrics, morphing nothing into something? How long had they stood there in silence? And why was Alistair completely entertained by her empty shell? The frequency from his cane fiddled out a quiet greeting to push her back into the pool of reality.
With a cold water conscience, she pressed her finger to her lips and cleared her throat, turning her head away from Alistair's lingering touch.
"Well, thank you for the suggestion,"
she said, professional and poised, as she should be. Charlie turned to approach Angel Dust on the love seat, whose eyes slowly met with her.
"Angel! What's my homework tonight?"
he sighed, crossing his arms behind his head as he swung his leg from the edge of the seat. Charlie would get to the point.
"I would like to continue your talk session soon, if that's all right?"
An eye opened to stare at nothing.
"I feel like we could get a lot done now, huh?"
He glanced at her, then behind her, before immediately closing them again.
Yeah, sure.
Walking to the side of the seat, she leaned down to shadow over him, watching as he was forced to give her attention. With a big smile, Charlie requested,
"Tomorrow morning?"
"Ugh, so early."
Charlie pursed her lips. Angel groaned, scraping his fingers at his face before flapping them in front of Charlie's own to push her away.
Okay, Sparkles. I'll do it. Just stop doing that. You're pissing me off."
She gleefully put Angel Dust's therapy as a go between the striped lines. And after, she peeked up at Husk, who gave a delayed glance back at her.
"Husk,"
she started, watching as he visibly tensed.
"Husk, I have a small inquiry for you."
Charlie slowly approached him from behind the couch, Angel giving a devious grin the last she saw of him in her vision.
"I ain't..."
Please just try at least one..."
Alistair cackled in the back.
"Oh, Husk confessing his sins for redemption? My, Charlie, would you like to trade seats? I'll play empath for a day."
Husk shot Alistair a grievous glare. The hotelier only continued to grin from the back, looming a sort of ominous presence on them. Not quite in the conversation, but listening.
"I don't do this shit, Charlie. I'm not..."
He glanced at Angel Dust below, to Charlie, and twitched his wings in personal despair.
"Can I bring beer in there?"
Charlie didn't think so, but she nodded anyway, eager to get him in the other chair.
"All right."
Charlie's heart was full. This was all turning up.
Zzt.
The television exploded with noise, causing everyone to glance at it in shock. Static blared on the screen, and initially they all glanced at Alistair, who smiled back at them and gave a...
"What? It's not me."
Charlie stared at the intertwining static before it cut to a display that matched a news broadcast.
"Welcome to the show,"
a female choir sang out, and a red bar appeared on the screen that began to scroll bold white letters. What seemed to be a television displayed on the screen, accompanied by a body underneath, and it turned around to reveal that it was indeed a person. What an interesting demon physique.
"Breaking news to the folks of Pride,"
he said.
"Your favorite reliable news source, me, Vox, of course, hey, how are ya, has come out with some damning..."
He slammed his fist on the desk and rattled his things.
"Information that will blow all of your cocks right off."
Angel scoffed. The self-proclaimed Vox flexed his shaking hands before snorting.
"One of hell's most annoying, despicable, old and tratty and insufferable serial killers is back from the fucking pit he spawned out of."
A red liquid pooled from his mouth.
"I'm most displeased to announce..."
He stood up out of his seat and caused the person behind the camera to fumble with the device slightly to follow him. He walked around his desk to stand before the camera and grab it.
"That the radio demon is back!"
Even if the room was quiet to watch the show, everyone side-eyed Alistair, who watched the television with no different expression. There was nothing there. Just that empty smile.
"He's already back at it with his fetish of killing overlords! Valentino is fucking dead!"
Valentino's image was in the background of the large monitors behind Vox. However, since he was in front of the focus, it was covered tremendously.
"You heard me. He's back and eager to kill your families just for the sick pleasure of drinking the blood of your children. If, well, he's not too pussy to..."
Vox mocked.
When was the last time you won a fight that wasn't unprecedented? Of course, you won by the element of surprise. But now everyone knows, and your cover is blown. And we'll fucking get you.
The room felt colder.
Alistair! Radio Demon, hey, guess what? You're old fucking news, buddy!
His finger aggressively tapped the camera and fogged it.
I'm going to kill you and sever each of your limbs and feed them to the sharks that fester in my fucking manor. And then I'm going to display your head like your taxidermied animals, you prick! Try laughing at me again when you have no throat, you sadistic fuck!
Charlie once again looked at Alistair, who wasn't looking at the television. He was looking at her.
Anyways, here's Katie Killjoy with the latest celebrity gossip.
The channel switched back to the news anchor with a less than favorable personality. Everyone had fallen deathly quiet. Alistair grinned.
Aha, he's the same as always. All bark, no bite.
Should we be worried about that, though?
Angel spoke up.
I mean, the guy was pretty damn confident in getting you killed, tough guy. And, well, I'm not gonna take any cuts for you. No offense.
With his eyes only a shade darker than before, Alistair said, a hoarse cusp to his voice.
He's only tried before because of that oh-so-fragile ego. With his little pimp sir gone, and his other feminine ally hardly partaking in violent discourse, only verbal spats.
He said, years of wisdom in each word.
I don't believe this should take up a lot of my time. He'll be easy.
Alistair,
Charlie warned. Alistair's eyebrows twitched in displeasure at her tone.
Again,
Alistair approached her, and the lights flickered for only a mere second.
Charlie,
he whispered, low for her ears only.
We can talk about our plans another time.
Our?
This would remain heavy in the air as Alistair brushed off one of his arms.
Well, I've got to go,
he simpered.
Do make yourself comfortable tonight. You're still recovering from your mishap. Don't push yourself too hard. You've got to show the world that darling smile.
Charlie swallowed, not really wanting to recall the eeriness of not remembering what happened.
See you tomorrow for our dinner!
He walked out of the front door, the door closing a decimal louder than usual. The three of them remained, evidently confused about the debacle. Alistair said so much, and yet so little. Husk sighed to break the tension.
You can't stop him, Charlie.
Even with those chains, he didn't want to say, but she could read it off him. She could, but she wouldn't. She knew that. Glancing at her notebook, at the very end of the page in bold letters was Alistair's redemption circled nightmarishly. She could only try to stop everyone else, but him? How could she stop him? The ghost of his finger trailing down her throat lingered. If angel dust could be severed so easily from Valentino by Alistair, then why didn't he just free himself? What was he waiting for? Did he really like her, as he said before? Why didn't she make their contract stricter? The most he could hope to give her was his time. The utmost obedience was not on the menu. She didn't even want that. Alistair knew this. Was there some sort of loophole he was intending on abusing? The fact that she told him that it has to be his want to change? She wobbled as she took a step forward, staring at Alistair's redemption. Alistair's redemption circled, circled again, arrows bleeding into the page as it pointed. Our plan. What was their plan? He had seemed so intent on getting her sponsored just for her sake, and then the next, saying such meticulous words that reminded her of some apex predator. There'd been good in him. She knew. Or was it that smile lying to her?
Ba-bump.
Charlie?
Angel Dust called from behind her.
You good? Yes, Charlie said. I'm good. I have a lot of paperwork to catch up on, notes and stuff,
she said, rushing up the stairs.
Good night, you two.
It's the morning.